Welcome to Singer Leewek's podcast series, brought to you by the professionals of Singer Leewek from various areas of expertise. Our podcast series touch upon different subjects related to growth, strategy, tax advisory services, and technical and regulatory matters. Hey, Dwayne, how are you?
Hi, good, thanks.
Good, nice to see you. Welcome to Singer Leewek's tax podcast.
Thank you.
Today we're going to be talking about California Water's Edge, which is an interesting topic. I'm sure a lot of people or companies haven't heard of this, so it'll be nice to go into a little more detail about what that means. But in the meantime, why don't we start with your background? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. You know, once you said, my name is Dwayne Dupree. I'm a director here at Singer Leewek. I have about 20 years of experience. I've been here for several years now, and I have my background is with Big Four accounting firms. So I worked at KPMG initially, and more recently as senior manager at Deloitte. I also worked at a company called Broadcom Corporation here in Irvine, California, which is a public company that has a lot of international operations as well. And so through my career, I've been at a chance to get a wide range of work, including international taxation. And so that's what we'll talk about today. But just to give an idea about some of the work experience I've had, I've worked on federal and state taxation, income tax provisions, in the area of international tax, as we'll get a little bit further in, research projects, and some international filings. So specifically about my international experience, I've been able to help companies come to a decision on what type of entity they would set up outside of the U.S. More specifically, recently I worked on setting up a company in Canada. And similar to the system in the United States, you know, every state has their own form of taxation and their rules, similar with, you know, the different provinces and territories within Canada. So, you know, I was able to kind of work out, hey, here's the best place you should be and the type of entity also. So that's another thing that, you know, I'm able to help out with in our international tax department.
That's excellent, because that's usually what seems to be the easiest and most logical is typically not in tax matters.
Yes, yes.
So tell us, I know that today our topic is California Water's Edge. What is this? Please give us a history of this, because I've never heard of it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely one of the main points I think, you know, I brought up to different clients is, you know, when I bring up the idea of doing this election, a lot of them have basically said, I don't even know what this is.
What is this? Right.
Exactly. So what it is California taxes on this concept of worldwide unitary taxation. Seems like a lot of words put together, but what it starts out with is the concept of this worldwide taxation. So in reality, the taxation is more far-reaching than what even the taxation code is set up for the United States tax laws. And so it's basically the idea of unitary tax. You've got similar management between the different entities. There's a benefit between shared companies and ownership. And so that's where you get this idea of unitary. So there's basically ownership between the owners sometimes, and as far as the management is more centralized. That concept now goes a little step further. California basically says when you have this unitary group, they basically say we're going to tax the whole group as if they're one entity rather than all separate type of locations or entities. And so there was a lot of pushback from obviously thinking about, you know, for a foreign company, hey, we're getting taxed outside the U.S., you know, and wherever foreign jurisdiction
right,
we're
right.
in,
mm-hmm.
as well as now California is taxing us as well.
So this California yeah. Water's Edge tax election, it's applicable to international companies only, or what type of companies can use this?
Yeah, it's related to corporations, and it really comes only into play when you have foreign operations. Absolutely.
Excellent. Yeah. So you have to have a foreign operation to apply this California Water's Edge tax.
Yes, to really get the benefit, that's where it comes in, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So what have you seen? What type of companies, obviously the one you work with, a lot of international companies, and being part of our tax group and our specialty tax advisory group and our international tax group, give us some examples of some of the successes you've seen for companies that have applied this that have international operations.
Yeah, so absolutely. I can give you an example of kind of how this works out. And basically, just to give you a little bit more history, 1986 was when California basically said, because they're getting so much pushback, we've got to do something. And so they enacted laws during that time period, and it's been in place ever since. So,
People work well under pressure.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Without that pressure, they definitely would have just continued, obviously, collecting their money. So to give you an idea, so say you've got a U.S. company, and they obviously are profitable, and they've got their own filing requirements here in the United States and obviously in California. under our circumstances. And then now they also own two foreign companies. So say it's Germany and the UK. So Germany, obviously, they're going to have their own filings there and be taxed there. Same thing with the UK. They're going to be filing and paying their taxes there in the UK. But what California's law with this worldwide concept, they would be paying taxes and including income for the U.S. company plus the U.K. company plus the German company. And so, you know, obviously that upset some people because there's a situation where you could be paying taxation in all those locations.
Multiple countries, right.
Absolutely. Right. And so with the Water's Edge election, it basically eliminates the UK and German companies in this situation. So you're just taxing the U.S. entity.
Wow, excellent. That's some huge help, some of these multinationals where the taxation is all over the place because depending on the country, the rates, everything's different.
Absolutely, yeah. So no, you could have a situation, it's kind of like the worst case scenario without that election. You know, you're paying tax, you know, in numerous locations, and you know that tax bill is just skyrocketing.
So great insights on how it helps you, but when is it not beneficial to do this?
Yeah, absolutely. So the example I provided was for companies that are profitable, they would be paying tax. Well, think about a situation where you have a U.S. company that's profitable, but now you've got foreign operations that aren't profitable. They're having losses. For example, maybe they're a startup company, they're the newer company, so they just are generating losses. Well, you'd have to analyze and project out over a time period how that's going to impact the company. So for example, if you have losses that you expect over a certain time period, you might consider not making the election because you would include the losses with the U.S. income for California purposes.
Yeah.
And there is one other time frame that a company might consider not doing this because you have to remember this is a 7-year period that it has to be elected for. So it's a pretty long time. It's not year to year. So there might be a specific transaction that creates such a large loss that you might consider not making the election once again so you can incorporate that transaction into the California netting of the taxes or the income. You really want to kind of have your ducks lined up in a row and know where you're going to be 7 years out. So if there is, you know, losses, definitely, you know, want to consider not making the election. And there are some other non-tax motivations. So think of the concept of getting an audit by a California agent and you're a foreign corporation. Would you like somebody from another state here in the United States wanting your financial records for the foreign operation?
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
There definitely are some non-tax motivations for filing the California's Water's Edge election as well.
Well, definitely some considerations to take and think about that. And it's all in the planning, right?
Yes.
So say a company does take advantage of this and is profitable and wants to make the election. How does a company go about that?
So it's actually a form that has to get filed with the return. It's a one-page form currently, and I think it's been 2 pages a couple years. But it's called the Form 100-WE. It's a California form. And I want to point out once again, this is just California rule. It's not the United States tax code. And so filing of the form has to be done with the timely filed return. And so what that means is you can't have an amended return that includes the Water's Edge election. So to give you an example, say your tax return is due March 15th. You file an extension to take it to September 15th. If you include the Water's Edge election in that timely filed September 15th return, you're fine. That's acceptable. But if you, after September 15th, file an amended return, they won't accept that form.
Oh, okay. Good to know. The small details matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's interesting. The small details are what matters in this election, in making the California Water's Edge election. Dwayne, talk to us a little bit about the type of entity that can take advantage of the California Water's Edge.
Yeah, definitely. So there's different forms that you'd file. And if you're an S corporation, you'd continue to file your normal California 100S form. Nothing changes there. But if you have a C corporation, you actually change the form that you're going to be using. It's instead of using the California 100, you're going to be using the 100W after you make that election. So just want to point that out because it is a nuance that people should be aware of. And then the other thing I want to point out is when you have multiple entities, they can be combined onto one filing. So you don't have to have, you know, for example, 10 different Form W-100Es. You can actually have them all listed on one form and then have the officer of the corporation sign that.
Excellent. So are there any exceptions to any of the rules here?
Yeah, there should be one thing that's pointed out. There is a specific rule under the California tax code that says that if you have a U.S. apportionment for a foreign corporation of 20% or more, it may be included in the California filing of the combined report. So what they're getting at is if you basically are operating a foreign company as if it's in the United States, well, you probably should be taxed if you're here in the United States. So that's what they're getting at there. Just to point out that the apportionment factors, it includes the three factors, the average property payroll and sales.
So, Duane, just to clarify, as we're wrapping up here today's tax podcast, is that this is only applicable to companies that are based in California. So their home base is California, but they have foreign operations. You have to be based in California to apply the California Water's Edge.
You have to be taxable here in California.
To have some kind of operation in California.
Absolutely. Whether you're brought in because of nexus or some other factor, and then also you have foreign operations outside the U.S.
Excellent. Well, Duane, in conclusion, any other insights you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I think something that's helpful is that, you know, every client and every set of circumstances brings about their own criteria, and everything should be evaluated to determine what's the best action. And then we can assist in determining what the benefit may be going forward.
Excellent. So, Duane, if a company has further questions for you, where can you be reached?
I can be reached at ddupree@singerlewack.com and at 949-261-8600.
Duane, thank you so much for your insights today. We really appreciate it, and see you on our next podcast.
All right. Thank you.